People ask me how I spend my break. Well, I wrote over 40 pages of work for the Bethel camp. That's something that I find special joy and delight in. So, you know, how was it spent? Was it well spent? The answer is yes. I mean, what greater joy could there be when you really read the Lord's Word and you understand it and you have got something to share with the people over that side, and it's just wonderful. We take for granted that we have a building project and it will all turn out well. That's actually not totally true. You see, the reason why we are able to build, we've gone to a number of building projects, and why we have been successful, is not the building project that makes it successful, it's the community. And once the church becomes a community, no longer just the you come on Sunday and we leave, it becomes core, central to the heart. You know, things then begin to work. That's what we have. So any building project that we have, we will look into it, you know, people will understand what that is. So there's something that we want, really, really want to learn how to treasure. It's something that I really appreciate over my time, and you know, it's just something wonderful to really look at it very carefully. Okay, and just want to thank you. Well, let's get our heads down to what we need to do. Grace, thank you for those words. Understand where that is coming from and the challenges of life and of ministry, and it's sometimes very difficult to understand and appreciate. And then you were facing the evening years of life and a lot of challenges along the way. And it is something that we need to look at very carefully. In particular, this passage about time on earth is something that is not very real until it is real. And that's what we're going to try to study this morning. And may that word become very real and precious to our hearts. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the joy that we can have in fellowship with each other, in the Word of God especially. We pray, thanking you for your goodness and your grace given to us throughout our lifetime. Help us to look at life from a perspective of an overall view, rather than to look at it at a specific time and moment. We pray for grace, wisdom to understand your Word this morning especially. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The particular passage that we're going to study this morning is challenging in more ways than one. Let's take a look at it very carefully. Right? And one of the biggest problems is the search for this thing we call comfort. And it's a very real thing, problem. Now, this is all part of the afflictions that we are looking at. Sometimes afflictions come from the outside, but it is still an affliction. And the question is, how do we cope with all these things here, right? So let's take a look at how the psalmist tried to cope with these things here. And I think part of the problem is that when we try and cope in particular, and we miss the whole big picture, we lose it. Right? I mean, sometimes we look at illness, we look at affliction, and we focus basically on the illness at that point of time. And we actually miss a whole big picture. Because once we miss a whole big picture, we actually cannot understand what we are looking at. For example, he's looking for comfort. Right? Now, this is very important. Right, let's look at the comfort. In verse 82, okay? At the moment he starts thinking about all these things, then he says, I have become like a wineskin in smoke. All right? They've gone for the... Then he goes on to, how many days are the days of your servant? Right? So all of these things here become a big problem. When we focus not on the whole big picture, but only at a small viewpoint. That becomes a big problem. And, you know, in preparation for an impending surgery, I asked myself, what am I looking for? And my answer would be, I am not going to look for comfort. Now, we all automatically look for comfort, right? Because this is our comfort zone, we call it. And anything outside the comfort zone is something which we reject. So we find it very hard to accept old age. We find it very hard to accept illness. We find it very hard to accept a lot of things. Right now, this coming week, for example, I will have to do a biopsy, which I have not done for so long. And the reason why they need to do a biopsy is so that they can clear me for surgery. So what is the biopsy all about? The reality is that I have been fighting prostate cancer for the past 20 years. Now, once you say prostate cancer, people panic and say, okay, we better go for operation, go for chemotherapy, go for whatever. And basically, I took the third option, do nothing. Do nothing doesn't mean I do nothing. I mean, it means I'm going to try and build up whatever health I can. I'll do my part in every single way. I will do my part. But I am not going to say, oh, wow, how come it happened to me? Why does it happen to me? And so on and so forth. I'm not going to. It's only now, going for another impending surgery, that they are saying that if you cannot clear this one, you know, we may not even do the surgery, for we do the a transplant for you, because this cancer thing has to be looked into. So basically, they want to ask, am I even fit for this thing here? And, right? Basically, I am fit. My surgeon tells me, usually it takes 9 months to a year to prepare a person for a transplant. I've cleared mine in 2 months. So he says that, you know, basically, fundamentally, you're okay for your thing here. It's just that they just want to be very sure about the whole thing here. But what am I looking for? Am I looking for comfort? No. It is a trap if you're not careful. Right? You become always. I must be well. I must be fully 100% well. You know, I must not have cancer. I've got chosen. We keep on being fixated with that. And then, literally, your eyes will fail from searching your words. When will you comfort me? But wait a minute. Why is it we think that God has not already comforted? Why do we think that there has been no comfort, that we have to search for that comfort? I mean, it's actually already there. Right? You think about it. Just sit down and think about it. So once you start on a spiral like this, you keep on going. And so you think like, oh, I'm like a wineskin in smoke. Well, wineskin in smoke has to do with the way in which, literally, when you are looking at, you know, they don't have bottles in those days. They keep all the wine in wineskin, right? So then when you take a look at wineskin, which are old, you literally sort of discard it somewhere. And so in the smoke there, you can't even see the wineskin. And so you look around and you ask yourself, where am I? Who am I? What am I? We're asking all the wrong questions, right? And we keep on thinking, well, I need some comfort. And as long as we keep on thinking we need a little bit of comfort, we keep looking for it, and our eyes look for a Bible verse to say, this is how it works. And reality is, it doesn't work like that. Right? Now, this is in the midst of the study of affliction. Right? So he's been talking about, you remember, we go back to 65, this is very important. 67, and he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. 67. Okay? And then in 71, it's good for me, I've been afflicted. right? And then in 75, you have afflicted me. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me. All these things are good, right? And then you look at it again. Deep down inside you, you are looking for that one thing that seems to be missing, and that word is comfort. Now, think about this. And so you try to look for, is there a Bible verse for special comfort? Well, not really. Are there verses on this? Plenty. If you're looking for a specific verse with your name there, engraved, you won't find it. Right? But when you look at the greater scheme of things, then you begin to realize that comfort has always been there. Think about this, right? I mean, this is something that that we want to seriously consider, right? So when you look for something and you can't find it, you feel a frustration. That's why you begin, my soul faints for your salvation. Why? I mean, what am I looking for? Another 30 years, I wanted to ask you, what did I do wrong to you? But seriously speaking, we think in terms of what life is all about, and we fail to understand this, right? And we think, my soul faints for your salvation, and this is something that is really painful. There are times when it is painful. There are painful times when I minister to people, and they are younger, and they are dying, and they ask me how old I am. And it's almost an unspoken question. How come you get to live and I'm dying? How come I am younger and I'm dying and you're older and you're healthier? So I almost dare not to tell people my age when I minister to people in hospital because they are sort of stunned, they're shocked. How come you're not sick? How come you are not dying? How come you don't have all kinds of illnesses? The reality is that I do. It's just that I don't talk about it, right? Do I have a cancer problem? Answer is yes. But I have been in technical remission for the longest time. I did a PET scan recently and they say it's still there. That's it. Has it grown further? No. But it is, it's like a tame black dog, you know. Yeah, you sit and then it sits. I noticed I didn't use the word cat. But think about it, what it means for us to understand. Don't look for things like that. This is a word of wisdom. Because once we look for the wrong thing, we desire the wrong thing, what happens is that we tend to look for all those things all the time. And once you cannot find it, literally your eyes failed, meaning to say you've been searching and searching and searching for what are you looking for? So they read through Genesis, I can't find it. Exodus cannot find it. Leviticus certainly cannot find it. And so on and so forth, and we get frustrated. I mean, eyes are bleary. But the question is, what should we be looking for? What should we be looking at? And you should look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is much rosier than you think. Right? I mean, think about it. I mean, people have already thought about it and say, well, you know, we should have gone for operation. Nope. Or should have gone for radiation. Nope. Right? What is it all about? And, I survived my urologist who has been looking after me. So he's since retired. And that's it. And so they said, find my old records. And I think NUH has its own, they say, after a certain number of years, all the files are deleted. So they tried to find my files, because it was at Gleneagles site. So they said, we try to find all your files. You can't, because it's been 15, 20 years, and the hospitals, they do not keep records like this. So I'm back to square one. I have to do a biopsy all over again. Am I going to grumble? No. Well, I want to be thankful for the last 20 years suffering from, I wouldn't use the word suffering, having to battle prostate cancer. If I don't tell you, you won't know that I've got a cancer. You can't see it. You see, that's where the comfort already is. So instead of looking for which Bible verse you know, and many people keep on hurling Bible verses at me. And I want to tell you, that's not my approach towards life. So if you think that this Bible verse means a lot to you, good for you. But that's not how I approach. I don't approach and I find a Bible verse and say, wow, it doesn't work like that. Not with me. So the question is, what am I looking for? Right? And I'm not looking for all of these things. I won't be saying, when will you comfort me? Right? The story is told of a man who was in a flood. And he was praying, Lord, save me. So after he prayed that, 15 minutes later, a boat came by. And he said, come on, we are a rescue boat, come. He said, no. Half an hour went by, the flood was going high, now he's on a rooftop. Right? And then again, another boat came. Hey, I'm here to rescue you. This is the last one. They said, no. And he cried, Lord will save me. And he drowned and he died. So he went to heaven and he asked, how come you didn't save me? And the Lord said, you didn't see the two boats I sent you? What are you looking for? You're looking for some spectacular thing, a helicopter come with all those things. What are you looking for? Sometimes the things which God has given, they have actually been given already. We just are missing, we are missing the point of it all. Don't look for the wrong things. And this is one of the, you know, is it wrong to find comfort at the stage of the faith of the psalmist? Yes. Right? Now, if a child wants comfort, yes, a big hug, the child will be happy. Right? Whatever it is. A child could be just happy. They ran over and, Pastor, thank you for the ice cream. And this little boy added, I only had one. Well, you could have come more if you wanted to, but you only came one, so you only get one. But, you know, he remembers it. And I say, okay, that's where we want to. But when you grow a little older, what is the stage of a maturity of a person? And the reality is that we move away from these things. You don't look for those things anymore. You just don't. You're just happy where you are, that you've got, you know. I mean, to me, I just want to borrow this word in 65. If I look back years, it would be, you have dealt well with your servants, O Lord, according to your word. So people ask me, what's my birthday verse? There it is. God has dealt well with me as his servant according to his word. Not according to my wishes, not according to what I think, not what I imagine, but according to what God has, in according to his word, he has blessed. And you know what? I want to say this. You have dealt well with your servant. Instead of looking for that comfort, right? So here is the Lord providing everything that you could possibly need. Right? He's there when you're studying. He's there when you begin a ministry. He's there when providing for all the needs of the church and every single thing that is there. Right? I mean, you take a look at it and you just cannot but really thank God for all these things. So yesterday, someone came into my office and said, Pastor, I want to just see you for a few minutes. I said, come, sit down. And he says, 20 years ago, I went through a really, really, really tough time. I had nothing, no future. I had a lot of challenges, problems in my life. Now I look back, you know, I've got all, you have dealt well with your servants. And he says, can I give this gift to support the pastoral care fund? So I said, I'm not going to take it in any way. I'm not going to use it for myself. It will be for the future of the pastors in time to come. And he says, yes, I understand. And so he said, this is my gift. And it is a gift of 50,000. Now, this is not a person who is very, very wealthy in any way. Far from it. But he just looks at life differently now. And he says, you know, I can look back when I had nothing 20 years ago, and here I am, and I'm comfortable. I'm not saying that I'm rich, but I'm comfortable, and I want to do my part. I really want to do my part to go and serve the Lord. I say, good, let's do that. See, we don't look for the particular comforts. We don't look for those particular. Very often we do. And we put ourselves into difficulty because we are looking for a Bible verse. And when we try to look for a Bible verse to feed our whatever it is that we are looking for, we actually set ourselves into a trap without realizing it. Don't. Right? Otherwise, look at him. I'm fainting for your salvation. I'm hoping in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word. And I'm saying, when will you comfort me? And the grumbling goes on. I become like a wineskin in smoke. I do not forget your, but yet I do not forget your statutes. Wait a minute. And then it goes on further. How many days are the days of your servant? Some people say 30 years more. That's not the point. You see, I mean, seriously, if the Lord were to take me home, would I be dying in regret? No, I do not want to die in regret. This is one of the songs that you might want to sing at a funeral, you know, 10,000 reasons. I mean, seriously, why can't we take time to thank God instead? You try to thank God for. Now, here's one reason. Here's another reason. And this is just something that is absolutely wonderful. Right? So instead of looking around, so he complains, the proud have dug pits for me, not according to your law, your commandments are faithful, but they persecuted me wrongly and helped me, and so on and so forth. Right? You see, once you look for that comfort, you know, and this is, in people ask me, how do I prepare for surgery and things like that. And but this is part of my preparation. I'm not going to look for that comfort. Some people say, how about, I say, am I going to be a painkiller? I said, no, I'm not going to be. I like pain because pain tells me I'm alive. I like pain because it teaches me lessons that otherwise I cannot learn. And I think the Lord wants me to before I go into the next 30 years, first, I must pass this exam first. Let me pass through this, whatever it is that I'm going to pass through. So that in time to come, should I help a person who is getting older, and we begin to realize that there are lessons to look for. Right? So stop looking at your enemies. Are there people who are enemies? Yes. Are there people who don't wish you well? Yes. Are there people who would just be very upset when you do well? Yes. These are all the enemies which are there. And there we see them. Look at them. Okay? Yeah, here we go. They persecute me. Right, there we go. The proud are there. They dig pits. What else? They persecute me wrongfully. Right? They almost made an end of me on earth. This is a reality of life. There will be such problems. There will be difficulties in your office. There are all kinds of these things. You'll have all kinds of problems. I remember one street preacher, and this very smart chap. And a lot of here are hecklers. And hecklers are people who go down there, who disturb him all the time and all that. And so as he was preaching, he would raise his head and he says, what about flying saucers? It has nothing to do with anything. So he ignored him and kept on preaching the gospel. And sir, what about flying saucers? Now he's coming to the end of the, one more time, what about flying saucers? He's already one smart preacher. And he says, sir, we are right now dealing with the gospel. I will help you with your domestic problems later. You didn't catch that one. What about flying saucers? And we're not talking UFO. We're talking about how the wife keeps on throwing things at him, flying saucers, and he was smart and he says, you know, I will deal with your domestic problems later on. You see, there will be hecklers in life. There will be people difficult. I remember an old doctor. So he said to me, I said, you're quite old now. Why you still have a clinic? He said, well, I still feel useful. I still feel strong and I can help. And one day he told me, I'm retiring. I said, hey, a few months ago you told me you're not retiring. Suddenly you retired. He said, well, I'll tell you why I retire. I know when it is to retire, when my patients tell me what to do. Every time I say something, he's got something else to say to me because he reads YouTube and whatever else. And then he comes up with all kinds of crazy. He says, enough. I've had enough. I don't want to have to deal with people like that. So he says, that's when I know when to quit. And this is something, but we actually, because of major health problem, he has to quit. But this is something that we need to think about. Right? So in the midst of all the afflictions we are looking at, sometimes we are looking for, what is he looking for? In this case here, he gets a little bit fierce and he says, Lord, why don't you judge those people who attack me wrongly? See, then you end up having wrong thoughts. You end up with really, really unhappy and really unnecessary and unwanted words like this. Right? So he goes on. The proud have dug, you know, and then they persecuted, help me. And then, you know, he went on further to look at all these things here. All right? And when will you execute judgment? Verse 84. Oh, and when will you, those who persecute me? See, he's come to that point. So he starts off with looking for comfort. He looks for the word of God, but he can't find it. He looks for verse after verse, he can't find it because he's looking for the wrong thing. Now, that spins off into looking at his problems, his difficulties, his challenges, and he realized that actually he was deep down, he was actually angry, he was very negative towards people who were enemies. Basically, he's wishing that the Lord will deal with them. He's wishing the Lord will punish them. The Lord will execute judgment against them. See? So from one wrong thing to the next wrong thing. Why go that way? Right? I hope you understand the wisdom that is over here. So don't look for those things here. What we need to grow a little bit more mature in our approach and look at it, and don't look for those things here. So what's the best thing here? There's still the line of hope that is actually his for him to understand. Okay, and what is this that we are looking at? And this is a key thing that we want to think about very, very, very much. Okay, but this is very important for us to look at it. They almost began on me, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness. And that is what we basically need in our life. But what am I looking for? Revival. Lord, help me to be a little stronger, help me to be a little steadier, help me to do what I need to do, and you know, I just want to do it. Right? It's something that is kind of special along the way, if you look at it. Right? So what's the best thing to do? To pray sometimes along the way. Now, observe this. The reality of it all is that what we basically need, what we call a comfort, is not comfort, but revival. You see the difference between? So what am I looking for? And I think I need a comfort. So I need a comforting word. I need a word that will uplift me. I need a word that will encourage me, give me hope and whatever it is. And I'm trying to find it and I can't find it. So I ask the Lord, why can't I find it? Then you pray to the Lord. Lord, it's very urgent, you know. Understand, I've got so many holes that I could fall into. They are these persecutors of mine. These are the enemies. They are doing all kinds of bad things. please rescue me, judge them for me, deal with them. Then I'll be crying comfort. Wrong prayer, wrong approach, wrong understanding. What's the best thing to do? Revival. So instead of looking for one, comfort, two, judgment against enemies, three, look for it, instead, revive. Right? So when you are tired, it's not only because of the work is heavy. You just need to be revived. You see the difference in the approach? Right? Because if I am going to be revived, this is what I pray a lot of times for this word revival. Right? So some days you're tired and you know this, you right now is not a time to go and be tired. I need to be alive, I need to be alert, I need to revive. Then I pray, this is my finally, the last verse is your saving factor. Revive me. And once you feel yourself revived, you feel yourself strong again. You know, you look at all these things here and look at it. It's when you don't expect things that the Lord sends things over. There is a special joy, such as I can. The next thing is, I have to learn how to use this. I am not an electronic person. I sometimes look at it, what is wrong with it? And half the time, it goes wrong for me. There's something. So what is the problem? Well, I look for three things. One, am I looking for comfort? No. So am I looking for a special word for comfort? No, I'm not. So don't send Bible verses to me. I want to tell you, because it is good for you. That's what you feel for me. Thank you very much. But I will tell you, sometimes people send Bible verses which are all wrong. It's the worst part. You send Bible verses to me that is wrong. I need to interact with you. I need to tell you it's wrong. And then I end up with even more email to answer. So don't throw my Bible. Am I looking for comfort? No. Am I looking for, oh, I know this, you got this enemy. Would you want to pray for judgment? I pray alongside. No. Not that's not what I want to do either. Because if you chase for those things here, you end up being very negative in your soul. Leave them be. Right? What's the best prayer to make? Revive. Pray for revival. Lord, revive me. Right? This is very important. According to your loving kindness. Right? That I may keep the testimony of your mouth. That's what he wants. That's what I want to do. Right? What is it that I want to look at? And I just want to be revived. And this is my prayer. If you ask me what my prayer is for this year coming up, it's very much the same. One, to thank God. Lord, you have dealt well with your servants. Right? 65. So what do I want to pray for in the year ahead? This. Revive me. Right? According to your loving kindness. That's what I need to find. Why? What is my reason to find revival? So that I can keep the testimony of your mouth. And that to me is the greatest joy ever. People ask me, how come I can live this way? You ask me, what other way is there to live? Seriously, what other way is there to live? What is the alternative? And the answer is, I don't have an alternative. That's the way I have to. That's the way I want to. What is needed? It's not comfort. It's not enemies being done, being judged. It is simply your own need revive me. So sometimes in prayer, you don't know what you are praying for until you begin to actually pray. Then you begin to realize, I'm looking for the wrong thing here. One. Two, am I praying against my enemies? I shouldn't be doing that too. Stop. Then what do I want to pray for? Be alive. Be revived. That would be the best thing ever. And once we understand and appreciate this from this standpoint, then this whole text becomes alive to us. Right? What not to pray, what to pray for. I think this is something that is just very, very deeply moving. Every time I go on a break, I always look for some things which will remind me about what real life is. Sometimes you look at this, the place there has got no shopping. Absolutely none. It's just a very quiet place, and what we sing, you know, a quiet place is all I need, and this is exactly what I needed, the space and the time, and I need to do my work, so I do that, and I am very refreshed along the way. So on the way out for dinner one night, coming back, I saw one small family, only the mother and two little children, very, very small. The mother looks more like the grandmother than anything else. And the home was a little part of the walkway and under the street lamp. And there she had one spoon, one small little canister of food, and she is feeding the children. And sometimes when you look at things like that, you are reminded of what we have been given. And, you know, our heart goes out to them. And they're not begging. They're not beggars. Right? And I've seen them work very, very hard. That's why I always admire their sturdiness. And they will always work very hard, even though they don't have much. And she would very dutifully, very carefully. Now, the children are way small. I mean, first, small size, small build. Chances are that they can't be more than 2 or 3 years old. And there they are. All they have was the clothes they wore and a small little bag alongside. And that's all they probably have in life. What is there to look forward to? Well, can I look for comfort for this family? Yes. There is comfort needed. But when we come of age, when we become a bit more mature, come on, let's wake up. Why are you looking for the same things? Because we have everything to thank God for. We have every reason to rejoice in. Instead of rejoicing, we are looking for the extra bit of comfort. You know how that is? You know, there's some hotels, they will give you 4 or 5 pillows, you know. And they will ask you, is there something else that you want that we can give to you? What do you want? You can be buried under the pillows if you want to. You stretch them out, and they will give you. Why? This is really spoiling everybody on things like that. And then they talk about, you know, build a better environment. We are committed to keeping in touch with nature and things like this. They say one thing and do another. No. Instead of looking for comfort, understand God has already given all that we need. We've got good doctors, we've got good nurses, we have got people praying for you for 30 more years, you know, and so on and so forth. Well, what more comfort do you want to find? And the answer is, I'm not. I really am not. So do I want to pray that I will be free from problems and troubles and difficulties? No. Enemies are good. It keeps you alert. It keeps you aware. It keeps you on your toes all the time. So whenever there are enemies, you know, you speak more carefully. You think more sharply. You become very much more alert. Hey, thank God for enemies. Instead of praying for judgment against them. Well, they keep you alive and alert. Right? And then finally, the best part of it, though, pray for revival. Well, this summarizes up all the things I want to say. So if the number of emails have already started to increase, so if I take a little longer to write, I understand. Thank you for understanding it. Right? And along the way, pray for revival. Be alive, be alert. And if you can do that, it really would be a wonderful thing. So how do we celebrate that? One, don't look for comfort. Seriously, what's a comfort food? I found myself, what did I have for breakfast? It's interesting. They take fur and all. It's not my favorite food. You look for banh mi. Again here, not my favorite food. I end up eating porridge every day. Why? Because I'm so Chinese. And, you know, I look for it and I say, hey, that's Chinese porridge here, right? And they call it plain porridge. Hey, they don't understand what plain porridge is. There's no such thing as plain porridge. It is comfort food. I hope you understand. You see, it's not all those fancy things. And, you know, and look at all those fancy things, all those ham slices. And the first thought that comes up, salt. Ah, yeah, cannot eat any of those things here. And look at all the other jam. Oh yeah, cannot take sugar also. So you end up with plain porridge. And the most beautiful word. As long as it's porridge. I hope you understand. See, ultimately, this is how you feel revived. And when you are, then you know. That's the whole point of it all. What do you see? Nothing much. It's a funny thing. So one dinner, you know, outside restaurant, you know, where you have all the open air kind of thing here. And there it is that drew the attention of the children was a tiny little cat. The cat came by and snuggled under the feet there, and they started feeding the cat. And the cat was purring and happy like anything. That was a highlight for the day. Feeding a cat. I hope you understand. It's not on the major site you see and all the things that are there. I don't look for those things. Mostly I look for things, the unexpected. Because it is in these things here you actually find it's not comfort, it's God Himself. It's not the enemies. You learn from them. And then you learn best of all to make the right prayer, revival. So this summarizes what I'm thinking about if I at 76. To me, this is a wonderful text to read, right? So think about this and keep growing up, keep maturing further. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so much for the joy that we can have learning how to pray aright. Help us to not so much look for comfort as to pray for revival. Teach us how to cope with all the afflictions, the problems, the difficulties of life, and to just learn how to thank you. So you are there with us, and you will always be there with us. Help us to find real comfort and joy in this understanding. We pray for your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.